Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. A lot of people want peace, but don't want the one who has control over the peace. The Prince of Peace, the controller of peace. You want the one who controls the peace, you've got to accept the controller. And you've got to let him be in charge of your life if you're going to have the peace that he says that you can have. If he's going to give you the peace, he has to be the one in control. And it's funny how we want him to give us everything we want, but we don't want to submit to his authority. And that's so true. Matthew chapter 6. Hope he doesn't mind here, but it's good to see Craig Keener here this morning. God bless you. He's been fighting a tough battle here, and we've been praying for you on Wednesday nights and so forth. It was so good to see you and Crystal come in, and we're praying for you, sir. And God bless you. God bless you. Keep praying for him. I know he would use it, and he would glad to have it. Also, Chris and Wayne Nelson's, Chris's sister, Joan Harris, her husband Ray, Wayne's brother-in-law there, very, very ill, and you pray for him, Ray Harris, you think about it, and pray for Miss Joan too. She has an awful lot on her plate, and I know they really appreciate it, and I know they would appreciate it. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, did I tell you 24? No, apparently not, there goes all the pages, okay. Matthew 6:24. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. God is Lord Jesus laying out a lot of things here. He lays out some things about basic life. Now, this is really has an awful lot to do about faith and who God is. Man has sometimes you ever like to just smack somebody, you know. Man has made the things of God so complicated, and to go through all this hoopla and rituals and these things you got to do and this and that and the other thing, God simply wants us to take him by faith. Now of course part of that is we got to live righteous. We have a holy and a righteous God, and he expects us to live holy and righteous before him, and the more we do so, the more we put ourselves under the spout where the blessings come out. But the fact is, man makes things so difficult. They got this, and they add this, and add this. And we come to a portion here where you can't get any more basic, any more fundamental, if you will, as about having your basic needs met. And that's what we're talking about here. And now look at this. Now we've been talking about possessing the promises. And I gave you several promises to possess. And today we're gonna do another one of these. And I really, there's nothing deep and dark about this. There's no deep, dark secret here. This is it is what it says it is. It's straightforward. Take it for what it says. Jan and I have lived by this ever since we've been married out on our own. You know, the fact is, I want to stay on it's like having peace. You want peace? Well, then you got to go to the Prince of Peace. So you got to let him be the authority. And by the way, that has an awful lot to do with it. You're going to trust him to be God, or are you going to try to do it on your own? You say, well, I'm not sure I've seen it. Well, that's because a lot of people won't take God's word for it. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, kind of goes, but watch, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a word that basically means the treasures of this world, the powers of this world, the things that this world offers. We can't serve the world and serve God at the same time. In fact, the Bible says that we're friendship with the world is enmity with God. If we're out trying to make our life fulfill with the things of the world, we're trying to follow the way the world's philosophy is, chances are we're going the opposite direction as we should be if we're going toward God. We're diametrically opposed. You can't walk in the Spirit and fulfill the lust of the flesh at the same time. And so you can't serve two masters. You've got to decide if you're going to serve God or whether you're going to serve yourself and the world and your lust and our flesh. Now, that's as you say, well, okay, well, can I just do a little bit of both? I've got to have some fun. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Christians have a whole lot more fun. And you don't wake up with a hangover and an empty pocket. Or something crazy in the hospital before the night's over. What did I do? Did I make a fool of myself last night? Yeah. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. He deceived thereby is not wise. It'll make a fool of you. You know, we think we can handle it. So all those things, if we really want to see God give us those blessings, we've got to do it the way he says. So verse 24, he's basically saying, okay, first you've got to decide who it is you're going to serve. God or something other than God. Verse 25, because you can't serve two masters, verse 25 says this, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So he's saying, listen, if you're serving mammon, you're serving the things of this world. You're trying to get out of the world what you need. Okay? And he said, and we do need those things. We'll see that in a second. But he says, you can't serve two masters. But he says, the thing is, when we serve the world, we're serving to get things. We're serving to get food and raiment and clothes and shelter. That's all fine. We need those things. But those things are going to pass away. Those things are going to be gone. You know, you got to maintain the house. You know, we built our first house in 1983. And, you know, everybody kind of laughed at us, you know, because of my plastic house. I want it as maintenance-free on the outside as it could be because I'm lazy when it comes to that kind of stuff. I don't like doing that kind of stuff. And they kind of, you know, well, you ought to have this better quality. Give me my plastic house. And the water runs off of it, and I'll just keep on going. But those kind of things come and go. Now, watch me. He says, you need to take no thought for that stuff. That's not what life is about. Life is not about what all these things you have. He that dies with the most toys is still dead. You understand? We haven't won the race. How much the rich man in town dies, or how much did he leave? All of it. You buy a new car, you take it to Walmart, and the first day you get a ding. You know? We have things. About a week and a half before we left for the Bible conference, our house phone died. It's the line. It's something. I don't know what it is. I've been on the phone. So if you've been trying to call, it just keeps going to the voicemails because the Lion line won't do anything. You pick it up, it says line in use. And we've been working on this. What's this? We'll get the message. Yeah, but we've got to make sure we know that there's a message. We've got to go back and call because we don't know that there's a message there. It's not blinking because it's not hooked up. But anyway, there's telling we'll get something before the week is over. We'll see. Things are things. More things you have, the more problems you have. He says, isn't life more than what you eat? Now, I have to say, my wife eats to live. I kind of live to eat. But life is more than what you eat. It's more than what we put on. We worry about all that. Look at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? They don't walk around trying to figure out what it is they're going to eat. They just eat. He says, aren't you more important than God than the birds? And verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, and neither do they spin. So verse 27, it said, well, you know, there's a lot of things we can't even do anything about anyway. We worry with this. And well, we're not going to know. There's nothing we can do about between now and then. Or, that, you know, there's an issue. There's something going up. We're going to have to make a decision. But right now we can't. And so why worry about all this? God knows. He says, listen, just look how he dresses up the lilies. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God cares about you. But so often we don't let him care for us. Verse 31, therefore, because of what I've said here, take no thought. Be not anxious, really what it's saying. Saying, what are we going to eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And he says, the Gentiles means the nations of the world, the people who don't know God. That's what they're doing. They're living for more and more and more and more and more. And the fact is, you realize the suicide rate is just as high, if not higher, amongst people who have a lot than those who have nothing. So having things didn't fix that. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of things we can enjoy. But like I said, sometimes the more we have, the more problems we have, the more issues there are. He says, aren't you? I mean, we're God's people. That's how he was talking to the Jews, and you're God's people. But we're saved. We're God's children. Why are we so worried about all these things? We'll say, well, because we need them. Yes, we do. Verse 33. Why don't I go back to verse 31? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They come with the package. They come with the package. Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. I try to get in. We kind of got a late start here. We've talked about possessing the gospel. We've talked about possessing the growth, our Christian life. We've talked about possessing the guidance. God will guide you. And I'm going to kind of jump right into this. Today we're going to talk about possessing the goods. The goods. He's got the goods. Here's how we possess the goods. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word, for the truths that are in it. And Lord, I pray that you'll teach us. Show us your word. Give us what we need. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. He says we're not supposed to be so anxious about all these things because the world is worried about that. God will take care of these things. We can possess the goods. God wants to provide for us. Now, we started all this with the picture and the story. And for those who weren't here, let me bring this up, of the story of Jericho. Maybe you know the story. The Israelites had been bound in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. God sent Moses to take them out. He did miraculous things, amazing things, many signs and wonders. Till finally, the people of Egypt said, here, take it. They basically, you know, paid them to get out of town. And they went out with a high hand. They had all kinds of things. And so they get in, they get out, and of course, God, they go into the wilderness. And God says, okay, now we want to go into the promised land. Here's how we're going to do it. Just go over here and take it. And they sent 12 spies into the promised land. Wonderful land flowing with milk and honey, not the wilderness that they were living in. Wonderful place, everything's provided, cities, he says, I'm going to give you the cities, it's all yours, just go in and take it. And they said, they go in and look around. So it's a wonderful city, but there's these really big guys, the sons of Anak. They're giants. I mean, they're huge. I mean, these guys got, you know, hands as big as my head. You know, I mean, it's just huge guys. And 10 of the guys says, well, it's really nice, but we can't take it because they're too big for us. Well, God said, and we had looked at it, God had already promised them the promised land. That's why they call it the promised land. He had promised them and promised them and promised them for generations and generations. It's yours. He had parted the Red Sea to get them over there. And somehow they say, well, but these big guys, they're too big for us. But it's yours. Go possess it. Caleb and Joshua said, we can possess it because God, if he's pleased with us, he said, we'll get it. He'll take it. He'll get us in there. And the 10 said, no, we can't. And then they complained and cried all night. Well, we got them out of here. We're not going to get there. Why? Is there any reason we're not getting the promised land? Because we're too faithless and rebellious to take the promise that God had wanted to give us. So what did they do? They spent their lives wandering around in the wilderness. And again, every time I get there, I got to say, too many people spend their lives running around in the wilderness and then they die. God has some promises. The growth, when we talk about 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, God has given us great and precious promises that we should be partakers of his divine nature, that we should never be barren nor unfruitful, but nor lack wisdom and lack hindsight and foresight. So we can have that if we're willing to add to our faith the knowledge of the Word of God. Diligently do it. It's ours. We can possess it, but we just don't. And so we wander around in the wilderness. So they wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. Everybody from 20 years of age and older who said, well, we can't do it, died in the wilderness. They said, we don't want to go over there with those giants. They'll kill all our kids. Their kids made it. They were the ones that didn't make it. So then it's time for Joshua to take them over. They go over the River Jordan. And God says, okay, it's time to take Jericho. It's your land. Now think, God has given them land. He wants them to possess it. How's he going to get them to possess it? They're going to go in with swords and take everybody. No, he says, I want you to see that God did it. It's yours. And here's the silly thing I want you to do by faith. I want you to walk around the city one time every day for 6 days. And the seventh day, I want you to walk around seven times. And when you get finished the seventh time, by the way, don't say anything. Shh, be quiet. And the seventh time, on the seventh day, shout and blow the trumpets, and the walls are going to come down. You'll be able to go in and take it. Now, stupid as that sounds, we heard that story. You go do that. Go walk around Dover seven times. I mean, just think about how stupid you feel. People are going, what are these crazy people doing? We're taking your city. Well, you're not getting much of it right now. You're not going to get it that way. Yes, you are, because that's what God said to do. So you go, and there's things that God asks you to do sometimes seem strange. Seems like you're getting nowhere. Seems like you're just running a treadmill. Seems like sometimes you're going the opposite direction of where you're supposed to. But God says, this is what I want you to do to get the promise. Now get that principle in your head. Now he comes to this thing, he says, God wants to provide for us. And this here, now watch, here is the Jericho walk we need to take in order to possess the goods that God has promised. That's what I'm going to talk about. Many people do not have the material goods that they need to live, even though God has promised to provide those needs. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He promised to do it. He promised to give them Jericho. But if they had not gotten out of bed and walked around that city, they wouldn't have got the city because that's what they were supposed to do by faith. Faith without works is dead. Now, on the hand, God doesn't promise to give the heart's desires of those that desire the world. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord and do good, thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way in the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, we should be content with what God gives us because he is providing our needs. If having things is our heart desire, we'll most likely find ourselves in a mess because we've done some things to have those desires that we should have never had in the first place. 1 Timothy 6:6 says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich, those whose will in their life is to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't say money, is the love of it. Which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I know, listen, men, there's something God has put in us to be the provider and the protector of our family. He's just put something in us that we want to do that. They feel like that's what we need to do. And that's good. So as the leader of your home and a provider of your home, go to the provider and do what the provider tells you to do. Again, it's a matter of submission. Let me give you number one here. We need to decide who's going to be our master. We're talking about possessing the goods. Well, don't you think we need to be deciding about what we're going to do here and here and there and how we're going to make this little extra money? In fact, I need to stay home on Sunday because I need to get a second job because we need a 70-inch flat-screen TV. Or you may say, I need to work on Sunday because we got an electric bill that we're not ready to pay yet. That's what you think. We get to decide who our master is. Is our master things, or is our master him? Do you possess things, or do things possess you? Who's in control? What are our decisions made by? Listen, he said there in verse 24, Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and the world, and mammon. We can serve the goods, or we can serve the master who provides the goods. Do you possess things, or do they possess you? Are you looking to the world to provide for you and your family, or are you looking to the one who created the world to provide for you and your family? So no one really lives like this. Yes, they do. I've been told that I was crazy. My dad told me I was crazy. Early on. He wasn't a saved man at that point. And he said, Sterling, that's foolishness. It's nice to go to church and learn to be honest and trustworthy and so forth and so on. But you can't live like that out in the world. It's foolishness. You're going to hurt yourself. He, with all his heart, he was trying to do right, trying to straighten me out. And I said, I love you, Dad, but I still got to do what I got to do. And then when I remember the day I went in to tell him that I was going to take this church up here, because they had voted me in by that time he had seen the Lord provide. He said, how big is the church? I said, well, about 25 or 30. Well, can they pay you? I said, no. They can't. Well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I think it's, I said, this is where it is, and I think the Lord wants us to be there. And he went from, to going out and telling his secretary to get some comps on my house in Maryland, get some listings on some homes up here, because we basically sever ties down there and move up here and do this. That's not what my dad would have done. He had since gotten saved. He had seen the Lord provide. Every job I've ever taken, I've gotten less money. The initial amount was less. Until I finally took this job, and it was like, well, we'll pay you if you can. Now, they always did. The Lord provided. There was times of course, this time of year, you got to lock your door, or people put squash in it. But we would find, a ham or a turkey. People come to the door with something and food and take care of us. And I had a wife and four kids. Well, how are you going to do it? I don't have to. I have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those things. God knows you got to have those things. They come with the deal. They come with the package. If the world is your master, you will find the world to be more of a taker than a giver. The devil and the world are much like a pool shark. They let you win until you're all sucked in and sold out and obligated to, and then they go in for the kill and they get it all. The way the world works. And when we go with the world, we always go further than we wanted to go, longer than we wanted to stay, and it's going to cost more than we wanted to pay. The price of getting your goods from the world will be much greater than when we get them from God. The world and the devil are much more demanding masters than the Lord. The price of their presence in your life will be much greater than allowing God to be your master. I will guarantee it. If the Lord is your master, you will not need to worry about the necessities of life. Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Why are we worried about these frivolous things, fringe things, these incidentals? Why are we worried about, God knows you got to eat. You eat, don't eat to die. God knows that. Verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. The Lord takes good care of his servants. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He wanted everything, all the goods. He said, Dad, he said, Pop, give me everything that's my part of the inheritance. And he went out to the far country where he shouldn't have been. And he spent it on riotous living. Of course, all the friends stayed around until there was no money, and he left. And I love this. He says, and he came to himself. Duh. That's what you call hand palm, whatever you call those things. You know, palm, hand, whatever. Anyway, you slap your face. Well, it's stupid to slap your face. That hurt. He comes to himself, and he says, you know what? My daddy's servants have everything they need. And here I'm eating hog slop. See, the world gave you things, and when it's got you pulled in, and then you're obligated. It's like you go back to the world because you have no other place to go. You don't know what else to do. Well, I've always lived like this. My parents have always lived like this. We've always lived like this. This is what we have. I guess this is all life is going to be for us. No! Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things we need will be provided. I'll give you number two. I'm going to show you how to possess the goods. How are we going to possess? God says, I know you need them. How are we going to possess them? Well, we're going to march around Jericho. This is what we're going to do. First thing, seek first. And there's two things we need to seek. First, make them priorities, first on the list. By the way, the word seek first has the idea to plot to have. To have before all other things. Even the needs that you know you need, you're going to figure out ways. In other words, watch this. We go figuring out ways we can make more money. We go out figuring how we're going to be able to do this and we're going to be able to do that. And by the way, nothing wrong with good business. A man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. You're going to work, even if you're just going to have to walk around Jericho, you're going to do something. All right. But you're going to do what God says to do, not what you think you're going to do. But on the other hand, it's good business, go out there, figure out how you can keep your costs down. And so that's all fine and dandy. You need to do that. But God says, I've got some things I want you to do that I want you. We plot and scheme. What we need to do is figure out how can I trust God more. See, that's why. I know it's kind of selfish. That's why I come to church. I grew up in a little church, I only had church on Sunday morning. I found out there's people get to go to church on Sunday night. Yeah. And then I found out they have a Wednesday night service. Now, I'm not pulling a preacher stunt on you here. I'm telling you the truth. I found, because you know what? I delight, it's a delight thyself also in the Lord, in the law. supposed to delight herself in the law. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So I figured the more I can learn the Word of God, the better off I'm going to be. So the fact is, I want to know what's wrong to get rid of it. And I want to know what's right so I can do it. You know, people go to all these seminars and people make millions of dollars trying to tell you how to fix your life. Here it is! This is it! Because you know what's going to... And why do they keep writing those books? Because they get all hepped up. And it seems like it, and then it just doesn't, you know, it fizzled out. It didn't really do what I wanted to do. So you go buy another one. You know how to make $1 million? Write a book on how to make $1 million. God says, here, it's all here, it's free. I wrote it one time, it's for you. He says, now I want you to do is plot, if you will, plan, put it in your schedule of how I can get more of the law of the Lord in me. Because you see, the law of the Lord is the rules of life. This is how life works. Because God is still in control. Well, we think we are, but God's still in control. We got to decide who we're going to serve, the Lord or mammon. So he says, seek first, make it a priority. Seek first, figure out ways to make sure, they said, seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? The word kingdom means a rule or the realm of God. My goal is to make God as much my boss as possible. I found out he knows more than I do. Now, I know we like being the boss. But sometimes being a boss really isn't fun, all that much fun, because this brings a lot of problems. Some people like management. Sometimes, you know what? I've known some folks who are very intelligent, well-educated, and if it's all said and done, they really don't want to be in management because they don't want to deal with these dumb people. And why God in his mercy deals with these dumb people? He's in management. What I need to do is let him manage my life. So I want to know, I need to seek first him to be my manager, to tell me what to do, to be my boss, to take the rules. And the fact is, he put them all in black and white, unless you got a red letter edition and some of them are red. But he puts it all in black and white so you can have it right there. He says, figure out ways to have God in the position of authority in all things. I don't think I'm going to finish this because I don't want to side this here. Let me give a couple things here. We want him to be in authority. Now remember, What did going around Jericho have to do with the walls falling down? Nothing in direct correlation or physically. What it meant was, we are going to trust God and do what he said, and he's going to knock them down. So I need to go around Jericho so he'll knock them down. I need to exercise my faith so he'll knock it down. Now, there's some things that God's going to do in life. We say, well, I'm going to name some things here. You're going to say, what does that have to do with him meeting my needs? He meets our needs when we let him be our master. If we don't let him be our master, he's going to say, well, then you do it yourself. See how it works. Go ahead. Now, I'm going to list some things here, and that's why I'm not going to get very far, because I'm going to come back and get some other things next week here. But there's some things, we think there's no direct correlation between these couple things. But there is a direct correlation, because me obeying God puts me under the spout where the blessings come out. If I walk in the darkness, I'm not walking with him, because in him is no darkness at all. If I walk with him, I'm going to be walking in light, because in him is light and there's no darkness at all. So if I walk with him, so I want to be next to the blessings. You know what? When I was a little kid, my dad and I used to go out. He loved antique cars. We'd go places. I remember the first time, it was years ago. I'd never seen one of these before. I think it was one. We stopped at a Burger King. It was the first time I stopped at a Burger King. I know it seems crazy, but they had come out. I mean, you know, I'm not a spring chicken. There was a time when they weren't around, you know what I'm saying? And so there was this Burger King, and we came home, and Dad ordered a Whopper. And I think I was 10 years old. And I said, I don't know what to get. I've never been in one of these places. I don't go out. I mean, we never went out. I didn't know what to have. He said, well, just go ahead and get a Whopper. This thing looked like a pancake to me. I've never seen a burger in all my life. I got to eat the, I mean, I like to eat, but mine, I don't know if I'm going to do it. My point is this. When I'm with my father, he always took care of all my needs. I didn't need my wallet. I didn't need money. I didn't even need to think about where I was going to sleep. I didn't need whether I was going to buy clothes or not going to buy clothes. Daddy's going to take care of that. All I need to do is stick with Daddy. You tell me your Heavenly Father doesn't love you more than your earthly father? I know He does. Now, if I'm going to do what I need to do, if I'm going to obey Him, let Him have this rule in my life, then there's some things I need to have Him in control of. These aren't in any particular order. How about your thought life? You realize He knows everything you think? Guys, when that girl walked by in her Daisy Dukes, he knew what you thought. Ladies, when that guy walked out of the fitness center, I have furniture disease, my chest done dropped in my drawers. I was told it was a sharp dresser, but my middle drawer hangs out. I've been working on getting in shape. Round is a shape. Now listen, we think about things we shouldn't think. How about the neighbor got a new car? God, why don't I get a new car? You don't like me, do you? You see what I'm saying? Bring all those thoughts into captivity. All those things. Your thought life. Let me give you another one. What you say. What comes out of your mouth. If Jesus would stand next to you, would you say the same thing? He has to be the king of your possessions. Of your possessions. How many you have, what you have, how long you have it. They're His. He needs to be the king of your necessities. Food. Your clothing. Your shelter. Watch this. He needs to be the ruler in your family. How we run our family, what we do as a family, how we train our kids, what we do with as a couple. We need to learn the Word of God, put it in perspective. Not most of, we don't have too many little ones in here. Listen, your bedroom, and you're married, enjoy yourself. It's the way God designed it. There's some people who think, well, I can't even enjoy the physical relationship because, you know, it's dirty. No, man, the world made it dirty. If it's misplaced, it's wrong. It was well, I'm just saying, you know, God does not take the joy of life out of your household. He brings you joy. He designed those things. Your marriage. How do you treat your spouse? I'm not talking about how you treat me. What happens when you go home? How do you treat your spouse? Well, what does that have to do with having my needs met? It has everything to do with how you walk with Him, and how you walk with Him has everything to do with how your needs are met. Are you telling me the way I treat my wife might be making the difference why we can't pay our bills? Yes, I am. Do you realize, you go back and read in 1 Peter 3:7, it says you've got to be right with your wife or your prayers may be hindered. How you relate to your spouse could actually have an effect on whether you're getting your prayers answered. Because watch, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I know, but that nasty old woman, I just can't take it. I mean, come on. It could change. He needs to be the boss of your job, your vocation. He needs to be in charge of your time. He needs to be the king of your energy and how you spend it. He needs to be king of your finances and what you do with it. You say, I've got some things, I've got some obligations. I know, but there's not enough money in my pocket to pay it. So I got a guy with a bigger pocketbook. I got a guy with a deeper pocket. The fact is, you made some bills. He's probably going to make you pay. He's going to make you pay for them, but you're not going to get out of them unless you get on his side in the first place. He'll take care of his bills. You take care of your bills, and then you get to the point where you don't make bills unless he makes them, and then he pays for them. I know. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. Let him name it, and then we can claim it. This is what I want you to have. I want you to have your food, your clothing, your shelter. Now listen, there may be times when it's a little bit sparse. I know everybody in here have heard our story when I was at college and I was laid off and didn't have hardly any money coming in and this and that and the other thing. But I tell you what, my Heavenly Father paid for everything. And we ate a lot of beans and rice, peanut butter and homemade graham crackers and all kinds of stuff. But the Lord paid for everything. And by the way, sometimes he has to keep us right down there on that level so we can see him doing it. I've used this again, some folks. If this is how much money I have to have to make it, and I'm making this much, and I might have some good weeks and some low weeks and so forth, but there's this much extra headroom, I don't think about him providing my needs. But I'll tell you what, you live here, and you're kind of dipping around here, and sometimes, you know, there's really not enough. And you watch him pay your bills. It's amazing. That's where the stories come from. That's where the praise comes from. So sometimes he's got to take us down there so we have to see him doing it day by day, sometimes hour by hour. But my God shall supply all your need. Well, how's he going to do that? He's got all the riches of glory to do that. Well, then why don't he give me more? Because you won't appreciate it. You won't get the idea that he's providing for it. You'll think you're doing it. Are you saying that I need to find more ways for God to tell me what to do and how to live my life? Yep. That's what I'm saying. My guess is there's probably something. Now, he only holds us responsible for what we know, but the fact is we're only going to go as far as we know. We ought to find out how much he can tell me, how far I can go, how much more can I trust him. And by the way, he'll take you little by little or as fast as you want to go. Again, now let me say this, don't go quitting your jobs. I'm going to just trust God. That's stupid. But let God lead you step by step by step. Seeking first the kingdom. And of course, that starts with the kingdom of my own heart. It's the first step to having God meet all my needs according to his riches in glory. The more I allow God to be the king of my heart, the more I can expect God to provide for me. I got to stop there. I don't want to stop there, but I've got to stop there. The roast is going to burn. Now listen, if you do nothing else this week, determine, I'm going to let God be my boss. Now, Paul says this way, I die daily. That, you know how even when something goes wrong, bad, you have a bad day, you say, well, we'll sleep on it, it'll look better in the morning. You know what else happens sometimes? We make a decision and a determination to do what's right, and we sleep on it, tomorrow morning we forget. You might need to put a post-it note on the mirror. Die to self. Let God be my boss. I have seen him provide over and over and over and over. And there's folks, can I have a witness? Anybody else, you say, I've seen him provide when I just didn't know what was going on. I've seen him do it. I go, amen. I say, I'm not the only one. But I am one. So this week, make a decision. Every morning, I'm going to say, he's my boss. And watch this. Lord, remind me. When I'm about to say something or do something or whatever that I'm not supposed to do, remind me. And if he doesn't remind you, that's his fault. On the other hand, he can't remind you of something that you haven't been willing to learn. That's why we come here. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let him be the boss. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your ways. Lord, I want to encourage these folks. We're not necessarily going to get rich, but sure it's awful nice to be able to reach down in the pocket and always have what we need to pay the bills. It's awful nice to know that somehow, some way, you're going to provide the needs when we've just been walking with you. Lord, let us walk with you as our daddy. Just go along with you and know that you take care of all those needs. Heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question.